Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 7 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. Program 269 in the series. This is March 25th, 2018. And to my right is the very vivacious and dimply Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
What's up, Carl?
Look, Mike Costella is here.
Yes,
wow,
good to have him
Mike
here.
Mike Costella.
Hi there.
Even for a moment.
Yep.
You know, he's practicing because he's taking your place next week because you are going to Israel.
Yes, I am. I will be missing just one weekend.
Go missing?
I will be going and missing one weekend of the WGN Radio Theater, but rest assured, I will be back.
Right. Mike will be the co-host of the WGN Radio Theater next week. Right, Mike?
I will be here.
You should, you know, do this. Me, 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 me. He's practicing.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot. I don't know if you can, if you're up for the challenge.
I'm sure I can handle.
It's hard to be me.
He's been a fill-in.
Lisa's taken a few vacations in the past.
He's filled in before. He's got it under his.
I know. Under his what?
Under control. And then Shante Garth, our producer, is in the booth. We have Roger and Esmeralda up there. We're all set. We're going to have classic radio shows coming your way. And we're going to start things off in just a few minutes with a great detective adventure on Mr. and Mrs. North from 1950. Then it's Fibber McGee and Molly, good 1946 episode, Jim and Marion Jordan. Then a good sort of a crime show called Under Arrest from 1948. And first off, we're going to play our Crack the Quote game, sponsored by Cat's Pride. What's the movie, Lisa?
The movie is Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, my gosh. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh,
I guarantee you. Guarantee.
You're going to know this
one. I will know this one. I know this movie.
I believe you.
By heart.
I believe you.
Okay. What do they win?
They are going to win two tickets to see the Rosencrantz Mysteries at the Royal George Theater.
That looks really, really good. I want to see that
myself.
Yeah,
it really does.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We'll take the third caller. We'll find our player after these words.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
And we have Roland on the phone to play with us. Hi, Roland.
Hello. Hi. How are you guys?
Great, great. Glad you're with us tonight. Glad you're going to play our Cat's Pride Crack the Quote game.
Yeah. Hi, Roland.
And the movie is Dr. Strangelove, so everybody's excited. Mm.
Guaranteed I will get this.
Carl's is ready to roll. He can't stand it. So you know how to play the game. I'm going to give you three quotes. One of them is actually from the movie, two are not.
I've been listening since you started this. So.
Fantastic. All right, then you know how to play, and here we go. Quote number one, strength lies not in defense, but in attack. Quote number two, they might even try an immediate sneak attack so they can take over our mine shaft space. Quote number three, my strategy is just to attack, attack, and attack.
I would say last one.
Number three. Okay.
It's definitely not three.
Okay.
It's probably two, although one sounded pretty good too, but I'm going to say two.
Okay. Roger, do you have a guess for us?
Say number one again.
Number one is strength lies not in defense, but in attack.
I'm going to go with number three.
Okay, so we have a number
two. Definitely not three.
And two number threes. Okay, Shante is the only one who knows.
You might even try an immediate sneak attack so they could take over our mineshaft space.
I got it right.
Carl got it this time.
Told ya.
But props to Carl. You know your stuff. But Roland is definitely a winner. Roland, I am so excited because you have just won two tickets to the Rosencrantz Mysteries. I don't know if you know about the show. It's returning to Chicago in a limited run at the Royal George Theater. It's through May 6th. And this is performed by Dr. Ricardo Rosencrantz. He is a pediatrician. He teaches at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine, and he probes the connection between magic and medicine. It is an amazing show, and it's at an intimate space at the Royal George Theater. So I hope that you love the show. It is truly a hit show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Roland.
And if you love the show and you want to let me know about it, I would love to hear back from you.
All right, fine. We'll try that.
Sounds good. Take care. Nice to hear from you tonight.
All right. Roland's a big winner, and so are our listeners, because we have Mr. and Mrs. North. But before we start that, I want to remind all of our listeners that we have a text in line, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We love getting your texts, and it gives Lisa something to do, because otherwise she'll fall right to sleep.
Fortunately
for you.
She
brought her pajamas, too.
I took a nap today, I'm wide awake.
Feeties in them, those pajamas?
Now, that would be fun. I think we should do that one night, where we should all show up in our pajamas.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Roger and Esmeralda and Shante and Mike,
would you guys
me
do
and
it?
Lisa.
Okay, not next week, because I'm not here. Maybe in 2 weeks from tonight. We're going to come in our PJs.
Wow.
Want to do it? Wear your slippers. Bring a rope, please.
I don't know.
We'll talk about that.
If enough of our listeners text in and say they want to see that, then yes, maybe we will.
I will take pictures of Carl in his black silk PJs. Now, that would be fun.
I don't have any black silk PJs.
Were they pink?
No.
Pink silk?
I'm not telling you.
Red silk.
This is secret.
Red silk.
Secret stuff.
I'm going to go with red.
All right. You ready for Mr. and Mrs. North? It was a detective series created by Francis and Richard Lockridge. They were a fictional married couple appearing in novels, motion pictures, radio, and TV. The Norths were not professional detectives, Lisa. They were just well-to-do New York couple who stumbled across a murder or two every week and felt compelled to solve the crimes. It came to radio in 1942, and it was a top ratings success. 20 million weekly listeners tuned into Mr. and Mrs. North. It starred Joseph Curtin and Alice Frost originally, but then later Richard Denning and Barbara Britton took over. And then they made the transition to television, and we have them, Barbara Britton and Richard Denning, in this particular episode called No Vacation from Murder. Let's go back to September 1st, 1953 now, for part one of Mr. and Mrs. North.
Jerry, darling, that was a gunshot.
Yeah.
Well, what would anyone be shooting at?
A screech owl, maybe.
No! Darling, that was no screech owl.
Mr. and Mrs. North, starring Barbara Britton and Richard Denning. Listen as Pam and Jerry solve the mystery, No Vacation from Murder.
Pam North stands in the center of the room, tense, expectant, waiting, staring at her husband.
All set?
Yes.
Pam's eyes move to the shiny 50-cent piece between Jerry's thumb and forefinger. Suddenly, the coin is catapulted into the air, flips over and over, then falls back into Jerry's hand. Quickly, he slaps his other hand over it, then slowly uncovers it.
Tails, I win.
So you do, darling.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jerry.
Sorry? Why?
Well, I know how much you wanted to go to the mountains.
Oh, but you want to go to the seashore.
Not really. It doesn't make that much difference to me. Besides, I couldn't enjoy it if I thought you weren't happy.
No, I'll be happy, Pam.
No, you had that cabin all picked out. And they say there's such good fishing in that lake.
But, darling, you won the toss. We're going to the seashore.
I'd really like to see that lake.
Now, it's all settled, Pam. We're going to the seashore.
Oh, Jerry North, honestly, You can be so stubborn sometimes.
Oh, but Pam, you won the toss.
So I get my choice, and I chose the mountain lake.
But you want to go to the seashore.
Not if you don't.
But I do, darling.
Oh, you're just trying to be a good sport about it, but I know that you really...
No, no, really, Pam. I'd almost as soon go to the seashore.
Anyway, I don't think it's fair. One toss. We ought to at least do 2 out of 3.
Well, why? We agreed. One toss, and you won.
I think it should have been 2 out of 3. Toss again, Jerry.
Oh, but Pam...
I wouldn't feel right about it otherwise, Jerry. Please.
All right, Pam. Do you want tails again?
Uh-huh.
Right. Here we go. Tails again. Well, that does it. You win again, darling. 2 out of 3. So let's not discuss it anymore. The seashore it is.
Gollies, Jerry, isn't this mountain lake pretty?
Yeah, it sure is.
And we practically have the whole island to ourselves.
Mm.
In fact, except for David Whitley and us, there's no one else on the island, is there?
No. Well, there are no cabins on the other side.
Well, it ought to be nice and restful then. What's that?
Somebody on the lake.
A canoe turned over there, see?
Yeah, come on.
There's David in his speedboat.
He's headed for... Well, he'll get to her before we can do anything.
If only she can stay up. Oh, yes, there. He's reached her.
I wonder if he's going to need any help.
Oh, I don't think so. He's pulling her into the boat.
David, is there anything we can do?
Oh, thanks. I've got everything under control.
Okay.
Golly, Jerry, it certainly was lucky for her he was so near when she turned over.
Yeah, and from what I can see of her from this distance, I'd say it was lucky for him, too.
You feeling better?
Yes, thank you. Much better.
Well, let me pour you another brandy.
Oh, no, no. Please, I am fine.
You sure?
Positive.
Mind if I ask a question?
Well, I would have to hear the question first.
Well, your accent, it's French, but your name...
Drake.
Is not French.
No, it was my husband's name.
Was?
He was an army officer. I met him in France during the war. He brought me to this country. He was killed in Korea.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. What are you looking at?
You, in my bathrobe.
I'm afraid it's not very becoming.
No, on the contrary.
And my clothes must be dry by now, so I had better be going.
Go? Oh, not yet. Wait. Look, stay for lunch, huh? Roy and Betty will be here in about an hour.
Roy and Betty?
Roy's my cousin. Betty's my... Fiancé.
You are engaged?
Yeah. Well, how about it? I'm a pretty good cook.
Oh, you?
Don't laugh, young lady.
No, really, I cannot stay. My clothes...
Well, I've got an iron. You can press them. Come on.
Well, all right, Mr. Whitley.
David.
David, then.
You know, I'm awfully glad that canoe of yours wasn't one of those non-tippable numbers.
Oh, the water's great. Come on in, Betty.
In a minute. I wonder what's keeping David.
Maybe he's brushing up on his French.
You're a real card, Roy.
Oh, relax. Woo, boy. Felt good. Oh, I was just joking, Betty.
I don't like that kind of joke.
Beware the green-eyed monster.
Shut up.
Temper, temper. You'd better watch that famous temper of yours.
I'm going back to the lodge and see what's going on.
Well, Dave said he'd be right along.
That was 15 minutes ago.
Hello.
Here he is now.
Well, it's about time.
How's the water?
Oh, great.
We didn't think you were coming.
Eloise insisted on doing dishes, so I helped.
What a domestic little scene that must have been.
What?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, wait. What's the matter with you?
This appears to be a case where three's company and four's the crowd.
Why don't you go drown yourself?
Your wish is my command, fair lady. Goodbye, cruel world.
Oh, now, come on, Betty.
Don't let me alone.
By crying out loud, you're acting like a child just because some girl has an accident.
A very convenient accident, if you ask me.
What are you trying to insinuate?
Insinuate? She turns her canoe over right in front of your speedboat.
You think she...
Yes, I do. And I'll bet she knows your bank balance right down to the last $2 million.
Oh, that's not fair.
Oh, so sue me.
If I'd known you were going to act like this,
I... I haven't done anything. She's the one who stayed for lunch.
Because I invited her.
Well, lunch is over, the dishes are done, so get her out of here.
Betty!
Get her out! Either she goes or I go, and I mean it.
David.
Oh, come in.
Roy, I'll be back with the speedboat in a few minutes to take you to the hotel.
I'll go down to the dock and wait for him. Thank you, David, for, well, everything. Rescuing me, lending me your robe, giving me lunch. It's been the nicest accident I ever had.
Pleasure was all mine.
Goodbye, David.
Eloise.
Yes?
I've been thinking about what we were talking about in the kitchen.
Oh, I'm afraid I must have bored you terribly. What do men care about dress design?
No, you didn't bore me at all. In fact, I was very interested. Especially your plans for opening your own place.
Not plans, David. Just dreams.
Would this help them come true?
Oh, what's that?
Take it.
A check for $5,000? I don't understand.
Got your name on it.
But I cannot take money from you.
Why not? Don't you think a shop of your own is a good investment?
I do, yes, but you... Well, you hardly know me.
That's my lookout.
Oh, no, David, I cannot take this money.
Well, I want you to.
No. Thank you, but it's not right. You'll take it back.
No.
Then... I don't want to seem ungrateful, but... are you laughing at?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Goodbye, David.
Oh, wow.
There's a difference.
Yes. Yes, I know.
God, Jerry. Look where we are. We're way over by the Whitley Lodge.
Yeah. Tired?
Yes.
Well, then, let's swim into Whitley's dock and walk back.
All right.
Here we are. Come on, darling. I'll boost you up. Oh, there.
Oh, my. I'm dead. Let's just sit here a minute.
Okay.
Jerry.
Someone's on the other side of the boathouse.
Sounds like an argument.
Yeah, maybe we'd better get...
Shh, listen.
Maybe you've got David, fool, but not me. You thought you played it real smart a few minutes ago, didn't you?
I don't understand you.
Tearing up that check.
You were listening to David?
Yes, yes. And you put on a great act. But why not? With the Whitley fortune at stake, why sell out for a measly $5,000?
Damn, dear, let's get out of here.
I'm being exactly what you are. A cheap little gold digger.
Don't you talk to me like that.
Oh, why, you...
Jerry!
Come on, Pam.
You stop it. Leave me alone. I'll kill you.
Not today, lady. Come on, now. Cut it off.
You stay out of this.
Come on, now, let go. Break it up.
There. You get off this island and stay off. Or if you try to see David again, either here or in New York, I'll kill you. Do you hear me? I'll kill you.
Ooh, that's a threat. Big time threat right there on Mr. and Mrs. North, September 1st, 1953, No Vacation from Murder, starring Barbara Britton and Richard Denning. Remember Richard Denning? He was the husband on My Favorite Husband with Lucille Ball. And you know what? Years later, he was the commissioner on Hawaii 5-0, the original Hawaii 5-0,
right.
Not the one that's
on now.
No,
I know.
Yeah, very cool. All right, that's the first portion of Mr. and Mrs. North. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes. Okay, we are listening to Mr. and Mrs. North. We'll have the conclusion after the news. Then it's Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Good half-hour comedy adventure from 1946. Then Under Arrest, good crime program from 1948. That's our lineup. We'll be here till 2 a.m. playing all your favorite classic radio shows. We do this every Saturday and Sunday right here on the greatest radio station in the world, Radio 720 WGN. And just mark your calendar for that. Tell a friend, too, because, you know, these great radio shows live strong here on WGN. We play, you name it, the westerns, the comedies, detective shows, all your favorites, Saturday and Sundays, 11 to 2, right here on WGN.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Yeah, I think the other day I joked around. I said, maybe you, Lisa, could do Saturdays here and I'll do Sundays.
Right.
But I was totally joking. We've had several texts, people saying, don't do that.
We're not splitting up. Carl and I are not getting a divorce.
This is not going to be like Dean and Jerry.
But we just had a text.
Or Abbott and Costello.
We had a text that said something funny. I'm going to read it aloud. It says, hi, Lisa. Hi, Carl. Lisa, tell Carl I heard that WGN is starting a baseball team and they're looking for a shortstop.
Really?
Ba-dum-tsh.
Yeah, hang on a second. What'd you say?
There you go. So thank you,
you know,
for that.
Yeah.
We are
okay,
not
so
going to split
I'm
up.
Okay, so I'm height challenged, okay? I'm height challenged.
You know, a lot of women like that.
What? I mean, I'm not like, I mean, I'm height challenged.
I'm I don't have a problem with it.
I'm somewhere between 5'7" and a half and 5'8"
and 3/4". You know what?
That's not bad.
I will still continue working
average,
at WGN with you.
Yeah.
Because when you're sitting, I'm okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Still taller
it's all
than
the
you.
Same.
Still taller than you.
Yes,
Lisa.
You are.
All right. We're listening to Mr. and Mrs. North. Here's the conclusion now to No Vacation from Murder.
Hello?
Hello, Eloise?
David. David, is that you?
Yes.
You are in New York?
Yes, I just got in and I want to see you and apologize for the way Betty behaved.
That is not necessary.
Maybe not, but have dinner with me, huh?
What about Miss Benson?
What about her?
Have you forgotten you are engaged to her?
No. No, Eloise.
Neither have I, David.
Betty called again while you were out, Dave.
What did she want this time?
Among other things, whether or not you were going up to the Lake Lodge this weekend.
Yes, but I'm going alone.
All alone?
All alone.
Okay. But you're going to have to make up your mind between Betty and that little French war widow.
I already have.
Jerry?
Yes, dear?
Isn't it peaceful just sitting here in the dark?
Mm-hmm.
Not saying anything?
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting?
Mm-hmm.
Jerry?
Yes, dear?
Did you ever see so many?
Hmm? So many what?
Stars. What did you think we were talking about?
Well, I didn't know we were talking about anything. I thought we were just sitting in the dark, not saying anything.
And we are. So did you?
Did I what?
Oh, Jerry, did you ever see so many stars?
Not since I bumped my head on the medicine cabinet.
Jerry North, do you have to take the romance out of everything?
I'm sorry, darling.
It is peaceful, isn't it? Just sitting in the dark, not saying anything?
Well...
Golly, Jerry, that was a shot.
Yeah.
What would anyone be shooting at? Oh, Jerry!
I'll get the flashlight.
It's on the table next to the door. Did you find it?
Oh, wait till I find the light switch. No, here we are.
Have you got the flashlight?
Yeah. All right, Pam. Come on, let's go.
Wait a minute, Jerry.
What is it?
I hear someone running. I think they're coming this way.
Hey, you're right. I'll flash on the light.
It's that girl, Mrs. Drake.
Yeah.
Mrs. North.
What is it?
Hey, Mrs. Drake, what's wrong?
Please. Please come quickly. It's David. He's been shot. There he is.
Mm-hmm.
If we carry him to the boat, we can take him to the mainland to a doctor.
I'm afraid it's too late for a doctor.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
Oh, here, you better sit down on these steps. That's it.
Thank you. So hard to believe. He went outside just for a few moments and then the shot.
Don't talk about it now.
It's so awful.
Is there a phone on the lodge?
No.
No, I was afraid of that. There's none in our cabin either.
Well, there must be one on the island somewhere.
Well, David Whitley's lodge and our cabin are the only two houses on the island.
Well, we've got to get to the police. And we'd better take Whitley's speedboat. It's faster than the outboard.
How about the keys?
David always left them in the boat.
Then let's go.
I wonder what happened.
One thing sure, Pam.
What's that?
He didn't shoot himself. There was no gun near him.
Well, then it's...
Yes. It's
Murder. And whoever murdered him is probably still on this island.
Wait a minute, Jerry.
What is it?
Look, isn't there a boat out there on the lake?
Hey, you're right, darling. Hello! Hello out there! Hey, you in the boat! Hello!
Why doesn't he answer?
I don't know, but I think we'd better get out there and find out. Hello!
Oh, hello, David!
That's Roy.
Who?
David's cousin. It's Eloise, Roy, and Mr. and Mrs. North.
Oh.
It is funny. David was not expecting Roy this weekend.
He wasn't?
No.
Didn't you hear me calling before, fellow?
No, when?
A few minutes ago. When you didn't answer, we came out to see what was wrong.
Oh, well, I didn't hear.
Well, how come you aren't using the motor?
It's stalled. I can't get it going.
Oh, well, just a second. I'll toss you a line and we'll tow you.
All right, thanks.
Ready?
Gonna go.
Here you are. Catch.
Got it?
Jerry, here comes another boat.
Good. Maybe I can signal them with my flashlight.
Why do you want to do that?
Well, maybe they can save us a trip. Oh, he cut his engine.
Ahoy!
Hello there. You going over to the town?
Yeah, why?
Well, you can do us a favor. Will you call the police?
Police?
Yes. Tell them to come over to this island right away, to David Whitley's lodge. There's been an accident.
Okay.
Accident? Well, what do you mean? What happened?
David's been shot.
What?
That's right. So we better get back there and wait for the police.
Shall we go inside the lodge, Mr. North?
All right, but wait a minute. Where's Pam?
I don't know.
I don't think she came up from the landing with us.
Well, I thought she was right behind us.
What's that? It
sounded like someone in those bushes. Pam?
Better shine your light in there.
Yeah.
Someone's trying to get away.
I'm going to see who it is. Hey, wait a minute, you. I said stop.
Let me alone.
Well, Benson, what are you doing here?
You'll never believe me. That's why I didn't want to be found.
North, who is it?
Miss Benson.
Betty, what are you doing on the island?
As if you didn't know.
Me? I don't know what you mean.
Well, come on back to the lodge and maybe we can get this straightened out. Hey, what's that?
It's a boat.
Yeah, down at the landing, but who... See, I wonder if that little imp...
It stopped.
I have an idea what it was. Don't you, Roy?
What gives everybody the idea that I know so much?
Well, here's the path. Now we'll find out. Pam?
I'm coming, Jerry. Well, Jerry, did you hear it?
I certainly did, darling.
That was the motor on Roy Whitley's boat.
Uh-huh.
He said it didn't work.
Well, it didn't.
I didn't have any trouble starting it.
Well, it wouldn't work before.
Perhaps not, but... Miss Benson, where did you come from?
That's what we'd all like to know.
I've been here since this afternoon.
Well, how did you get here?
The water taxi from the hotel.
We didn't hear you come.
You were out on the lake in your boat.
But that was early this afternoon. What did you do all day?
I came in the lodge and waited for David. I fell asleep and the shot woke me up.
Oh.
What was the idea of coming out here? David told you he didn't want you around anymore.
I got a message from him asking me to come.
Oh, that's not true. You could not have.
Then what's this? Read it. Turn the flashlight over here, Jerry. Mr. Whitley called and asked you to come to the Lake Lodge sometime this weekend, preferably Friday.
The desk clerk at my hotel took that message late last night.
I hope you can prove that.
And what do you mean by that?
I mean that message could be a fake. You could have written it yourself.
All right, yes. Yes, I could have written it myself. Or someone else besides David could have given it to the desk clerk. Someone like you, for instance.
Well, why would he do a thing like that?
To get me out here. Then he could kill David and I'd be blamed.
That's insane.
Oh, is it?
Well, why would you be blamed for David's murder, Miss Benson?
Because David broke his engagement to me last Tuesday. Roy knew it.
Why would I want to kill Dave? I had no reason.
You had $3.5 million worth of reason. You're David's closest relative. It's obvious. So obvious that you had to find someone else to put the blame on. So you picked me.
Oh, this is fantastic. I wasn't even here when Dave was killed. Mr. and Mrs. North know that.
Correction. We don't know whether you were coming to the island or leaving it when we saw you.
I was on my way here.
Do you expect anyone to take your word for it?
You seem to expect everyone to take your word about that message.
About that message? There's one thing we seem to be overlooking.
What's that, Pam?
Well, if David did leave it for Miss Benson, it would imply that he was going to make up with her.
So?
So I was just thinking, wouldn't that make Mrs. Drake a little bit angry?
You think I killed David?
I didn't say that. I merely...
Well, you are wrong. He was not going to make up with Miss Benson.
How do you know, Mrs. Drake?
Because my name is not Mrs. Drake. Not any longer. It is Mrs. Whitley.
What?
Mrs. David Whitley. We were married this afternoon.
Married?
You're lying. There's a copy of the marriage license on file in New York City, Miss Benson.
You won't get away with it.
With what?
With David's money. I'll contest the marriage. You tricked Dave into it. He only knew you a week.
It was long enough for us to know we loved each other.
And you even met him by a trick.
If you want to believe this...
It's the truth. You know it is. But I'll show you. I'll take you to court.
That won't be necessary. I do not wish to cheat you. I'll see you get a fair share.
Oh, you'll see, sure. You want to be the one to decide. Another one of your tricks. So I'll settle for whatever you say. It won't work, sweetheart. I'm getting a lawyer and a detective. Maybe I'll even prove you're the one who killed Dave.
All right, that's enough, mister.
Thank you, Mr. North. It is more than enough. I married David because I loved him. I certainly do not want to fight about his money.
I understand.
Jerry, come here.
Hmm? What is it, Pam?
Shine your light here, will you? I think I found something.
What? Oh, where'd you find that?
On the path leading down to where David is lying. What is it, Mrs. North?
What?
It's just a pebble.
A pebble?
Yes, a pretty pink one. I save them for my aquarium at home.
May I see it?
Oh, it's just a pebble. Come on, let's go inside. It's getting chilly out here.
Yes.
This is a funny time to be interested in pebbles.
Well, the fish like them. Jerry.
Yes, Pam?
I'm going to put the pebble in this ashtray. Don't let me forget it when we leave.
Oh, all right.
Because... Oh.
What's the matter?
Didn't you hear something outside?
No.
I'm sure there's someone right outside.
I didn't hear anything.
Oh, I didn't either.
Oh, I guess you imagined it, darling.
No, I'm sure it sounded like it was right outside this window.
Well, just a second. I'll look.
See anything?
No, it's dark out here.
Oh, you can't see anything out there with the light on in here. We'd better turn it off.
I'll do it. There.
Well, not?
No, I still don't see anything.
Jerry.
Yes, darling.
Click on your flashlight and shine it on the table where I left the pebble.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I thought so. What are you looking for, Miss Benson?
I was just looking at the pebble.
Uh-huh. And it is just a pebble, isn't it? But you were afraid it might be a clue, something you might have dropped after you killed David.
No.
Just looking to see a pebble wouldn't be so important to you if you weren't guilty. All right, Mrs. Drake? I beg your pardon, Mrs. Whitley. You can turn the light on.
Yes.
It's all a trick. Yes, Miss Benson. As far as you're concerned, everything is a trick. You and Roy are both so full of suspicions you never can believe anything. So I knew if either one of you had killed David, you'd be sure I'd found a clue if I said I'd found a pebble. Must have been quite a shock when you learned he actually married someone else. Enough of a shock to make you kill him.
You can't prove it. Not by just a pebble.
You being so interested in the pebble proves a lot. And I think the police will be able to prove a lot more when they get here, especially when they find the gun. It must still be on the island.
It is, Mrs. North. It's right here.
Oh.
All right, Mr. North, let's have the keys to the speedboat and hurry up.
You might as well give them to her, Jerry. She won't get very far. Hear that boat coming in?
That's right.
And it's almost certainly the police. So I don't think Miss Benson is going anywhere except to jail.
Yes, dear.
Peaceful, isn't it?
Oh, don't say that, Pam.
Why not?
Well, every time you do, something terrible has happened.
We won't anymore. The lodge is closed up. In fact, now that everything will be quiet over there, it's a shame this is our last day. Wouldn't it be fun to stay another week?
And rest up from our vacation? Oh, it sure would.
Let's.
Oh, darling, I can.
Oh, please, Jerry.
I have to get back to the office.
But just one more week, you could arrange it.
Oh, I shouldn't.
But you could. Oh, it would be such fun.
No, I'm sorry, darling.
Let's toss a coin for it.
Well, all right. Under the same conditions.
What conditions?
If you win, we still do what I want.
All right.
Yeah, I'm glad you're so willing. But in that case, why toss?
Why, Jerry North, don't tell me you wouldn't be as nice to me as I am to you. Go ahead and toss. I might be lucky and lose.
Jerry are sure to have more exciting adventures next week. Listen in, won't you? There's always mystery well sprinkled with humor on Mr. and Mrs. North. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
One of the top detective shows in all of radio and TV, because this made a very successful transition to television. Mr. and Mrs. North from September 1st, 1953, No Vacation from Murder, starring Barbara Britton and Richard Denning. We have two nice pictures of them, a nice picture, I should say, of the both of them up on our Facebook page and our WGN Radio Theater website, or no, not on the website.
No, it's just on our Facebook page. So go to WGN Radio Theater on Facebook, and you can check out our photos. We have photos from all of the radio shows that we are playing tonight.
Yeah.
That you can check
Fibber
out.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Yep.
Also Joe DeSantis.
Yep.
For Under Arrest. So check all of that out. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right. Well, we've figured it out, right, Lisa?
We figured it out.
Yeah. Tell our listeners.
So April 14th will be our 3-year anniversary show here on WGN, and we've decided to make it a pajama party.
Yeah, so everybody's wearing pajamas.
We're hoping you'll wear your pajamas, but we will definitely wear our pajamas.
Roger, will you wear pajamas that day?
Oh, what day of the week?
April 14th on a Saturday.
Saturday night to Sunday morning?
Right. And so this is what we're going to do. If you're in your pajamas, then you can join us, and we're going to have a party.
We're going to have pizza.
In the studio?
We
can't have listeners here, but
it's going to be a virtual thing. Studio.
We're hoping our listeners at home.
They'll send you pictures.
We'll send pictures. Yeah. And we'll...
Carl asked me to explain it, but he just can't stand
it. You go ahead, Lisa.
Thanks, Carl. He loves to interrupt me, doesn't he? So we're going to wear pajamas. We're going to have a party in the studio for everybody that's in their pajamas can come and have pizza and dessert and salad. And we're hoping that the people who are listening will be listening to the WGN Radio Theater and wearing their pajamas. And so we're going to have a lot of fun with that. We're going to have a party. And if you're in your pajamas, you can come join us. So that's the impetus.
But our listeners can't join us here. They're not going to allow.
No, I meant Roger can join us.
I mean, I would love to have our
David
listeners
Jennings
here.
David Jennings can join us.
But the security is not going to let listeners in here to WGN.
No, I meant the people here
and look
in the
through
studio.
The window.
Yeah, they could.
Or
do
they
that.
Can just stay home and listen to the radio shows and send
and
us
be
pictures
in your pajamas
and post them on our Facebook. We'll post the pictures. You know what? I will post them on our Facebook.
All right.
Page.
So I have to remember to bring my PJs that day.
The red
will you
silk
remind
ones?
Me? I don't know. I have so many. I'll just pick one of them.
All right. I'm gonna wear my pink slippers, and we'll have a lot of fun.
That's all you're going to wear are pink slippers?
I might have to buy new pajamas that
hang on a second, Roger.
Nice.
That's all you're going to wear is pink slippers?
Yes.
And
that's
my
it.
Those
on
the bunny slippers?
The pink bunny fuzzy slippers.
Roger, you're going to bring some PJs that day?
If we offer
I'll
him
bring
food,
them,
he might.
But I may not, I'm not going to wear them.
Why not?
You have to have
on,
pajamas
Raj.
On to join our party. Be a sport.
Be a sport.
So that's it. April 14th is our 3-year anniversary, and you're part
I'll
of
wear a
our
bathrobe over my regular clothes.
Fair deal. You are part of our 3-year anniversary, so we hope that you'll celebrate.
Go
with
all
us.
The way. Wear the pajamas.
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
I would.
All right. When we come back, we're going to tune in to Fibber McGee and Molly from 1946. After that, it's Under Arrest, so don't go away. We have another 2 hours of the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. We are back. It is Hour 2 of the WGN Radio Theater on a Sunday. Well, it's actually now a Monday morning. Happy Monday, Lisa.
Happy Monday.
Yeah. Thanks, and, Roger. Thanks, Esmeralda.
Just so everybody knows, we will have our Cat's Pride drawing this coming Sunday.
Yeah, Easter Sunday.
Just like a week from tonight.
Yeah.
Dan Jaffe will be here.
Actually, Dan's not going to be here, but Dave Weiske is coming in. But Dave will handle it, and we'll give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, and I'm glad you reminded me, Lisa.
So I was going to say, if you haven't sent in your picture, make sure to do it. You've got just this week to do it. Send a photo of your kitty to catspridephoto@gmail.com. Make sure to include your name, your cat's name, your city and state. You will automatically be entered, and you might win an entire year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter this Sunday evening, just after 11 o'clock.
And if you didn't write any of that down, you can just go to our website. It's all posted at our website, WGNRadioTheater.com.
Right. Yeah.
Sound good?
Sounds good to me. Because I won't be here, but sounds good to
You'll
me.
You'll be in Israel.
I won't be here on Sunday. I'm not leaving until Saturday evening.
Yeah, but you're not going to be here Saturday
or
Sunday.
No, I won't be here. I will be flying during this show on Saturday night.
Man,
so
your arms are going to be tired.
I know. You can talk about me all you want, and I won't even know. Mm. So go crazy.
Yeah.
Podcast.
Exactly. Now I won't bother.
Well, that sounds good. What's the movie?
The movie for Crack the Quote is Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, wow. Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
I think it's I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille, right?
Whatever. Yeah, it's one of those.
Same thing.
All right, so we're going to play Crack the Quote, sponsored by Cat's Pride.
And the prize will be the desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling.
Let's do caller 5-312-981-7200. Caller 5-312-981-7200. We'll find our player after these words.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
We have Bob on the line to play Crack the Quote with us. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Doing good.
Good. We're glad you're with us. You ready to play the game?
I sure am.
All right. So the movie is Sunset Boulevard, and Roger, you're going to play along with us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Quote number one. Life is so ironic, it takes sadness to know what happiness is. Number two. Do not judge my story by the chapter you walked in on. Number three, you see, this is my life. It always will be.
What do you think, Bob?
About C.
Number three, you see, this is my life. It always will be. Okie doke.
Roger, what do you think?
Wow.
I'm good at this, right, Roger?
Are good.
I know. Unfortunately, I can't say the same about you. No, I'm kidding. Yeah,
thank you very much. She knows me so well.
Can I change my answer?
Yeah, whatever you want.
Now that I think about it, it's B.
Okay, I'm just going to say one more time for everybody. Number one, life is so ironic, it takes sadness to know what happiness is. Number two, do not judge my story by the chapter you walked in on. You like that one?
Yeah, that's the one that I'm pretty sure now that I think about it.
Okay.
I haven't seen that movie for years.
I know, me neither.
Roger,
okay, number
what do you
two.
Think?
Roger?
Yeah, you know what? Before he changed it, I was thinking number two. Again, I'm trying to remember the movie myself.
Well, all three of us are picking
you're out with number two.
Yes.
Oh, I'm good. Okay, Shantae.
You see, this is my life. It always will be.
You were right the first time, Bob.
Oh,
you had it, and then you took it away.
Something like that. Don't judge my story or something.
I know. Yeah, no, that's not from the movie.
Okay, because Bob's still a winner.
You're still a winner. It's so funny because we always say go with your gut instinct, and then we change our mind, and then we go, darn it, what was I thinking? I know. Okay. It doesn't matter, but we appreciate your playing, and either way, you are a winner. And Roger, I mean, if Roger says it, it's probably not right. So you've won the desktop indoor weather station.
She's picking on you now, Roger.
Tired of picking on me. There's nothing left to pick on with you.
Three years of it.
I know.
You've won the desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. They are the 60-Minute Men. Congratulations, Bob. Thank you so much for playing.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. Take care.
All right. Hey, Roger.
Yeah.
So this guy.
And she's leaving for Israel now next week, so she'll forget all about it.
Exactly.
See, Roger, there was this guy. He had a pig with three legs.
Here we go.
You know? Did you know that? This guy had a pig with three legs. And so his friend asked him, hey, what's the deal? Why does your pig have three legs? He goes, well, you know, one time I was on the tractor and the tractor tipped over and it fell right on me and the pig came running and it got me and saved my life. It just lifted the tractor right off me. And, you know, he's like, yeah, but I don't understand. What, that doesn't explain why it has three legs. He goes, well, you know, one time I fell in the creek and I was drowning, and the pig tied a rope to its tail and threw the rope to me and saved my life.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, what? I don't understand. Doesn't answer why the pig has three legs. He goes, well, you don't eat a pig like that right away.
You didn't say this.
Oh, wait, I said it wrong.
You sure did.
You don't.
You
wait,
changed the tagline.
Hang on a second. Wait. You
don't.
Okay. You don't eat a pig like that all at once.
Yeah, either one. That still doesn't.
You don't eat a pig like that all at once.
You messed up the tagline.
Goofed it up.
He got the whole story set, and you got so excited you got like tongue-tied at the end.
You don't eat a pig like that all at once.
Yeah, you got it like the third time.
How's that?
That's good, Carl.
It's still, okay,
good.
Whatever.
Just tell him it's good, gosh. Roger.
I goofed up the joke.
It was so close, though.
Are you sure
almost
you have
right.
to leave next week? Are you seriously?
I'm so sure.
You're not going to leave me alone?
Yeah, I am.
What did I say? You don't eat the pig right away?
Yeah, yes,
nah,
it
wasn't as good as
I
all.
Know. But you know
all
what?
At once.
I'm coming back, Roger. You'll only be without me one week, and I promise I'll be back.
Okay, thank
it's a really short trip. I'm only going from Saturday to Saturday.
Oh, okay.
So
wow.
I'll be back.
Sounds good.
All right, your arms are going to be really
tired. How do you
really
say Saturday,
tired.
Carl, the word Saturday?
Saturday.
Yeah, I think, you know, somebody posted on Facebook that I'm inconsistent with the way I use my A's because I don't say Saturday. I say Saturday. I do with the A's, not Chicago-like. And the reason for that is I was trained to speak that way.
Were you?
With a lack of that kind of Chicago drawl.
Mm.
So just so we're all clear.
Okay.
You can call it inconsistent if you wish.
That's okay.
I know.
Let's see what Fibber McGee and Molly thinks about
good,
that.
Good, good, good.
This is a broadcast from January 29th, 1946. It's Molly's Card Party, Jim and Marion Jordan. Part one now of Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax products for home and industry present Fibber McGee and Molly, aided and abetted by Bill Thompson, Gail Gordon, Arthur Q. Bryan, B. Benaderet, and yours truly, Harlow Wilcox. The writing is by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie, with music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. In the recent nationwide popularity poll among 1,091 radio editors conducted by Radio Daily, the award for the most popular commercial radio program went to Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and all of us are very proud of this honor, and we particularly like that word commercial. Because during the many years Fibber McGee and Molly have been on the air, we've done our best to play fair with the radio audience in our advertising. We've tried to make no extravagant claims, limiting our statements to provable facts, which the users of Johnson's Wax products could easily demonstrate to themselves. We're proud and happy that both the entertainment we offer and the product we sell have received such warm approval in your homes. When Mrs. Molly Driscoll McGee of 79 Wistful Vista gives a card party, it's not one of your catch-as-catch-can, throw-your-coat-in-the-corner-and-deal affairs. It's a matter of flowers on the mantle, candy on the table, and shoes on the husband. And here, getting ready for the occasion, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
Oh, my goodness, McGee, I haven't given a party for so long, I'm as nervous as a cow in the deer hunting season.
Calm down now, baby, calm down. Everything's under control, I think. In a thing like this, there's only one thing you got to worry about.
What's that?
If it's table stakes and you're running low, buy your new stack before the deal. Because when you got plenty of
chips... What are you talking about? We're not using chips.
What do you mean we're not using chips? How can you play poker without chips? If you use matches and four people at the table are smoking, you always end
up...
Yeah,
but we're not playing poker. We're playing bridge.
You're kidding, aren't you?
I am not. If I wanted a poker party, I'd rent the back room of Joe's Tavern.
Oh.
This is a bridge party for ladies and gentlemen, of whom, fortunately, we know just about enough for two tables.
Oh, but bridge, my gosh, what a dull game. I don't even believe I even remember enough about it to play it, even.
Well, it's quite simple, dearie.
Huh?
All you do is wait till your partner says two clubs.
Uh-huh.
And then you say 7-0 trump.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 days later, they find your body floating down the river. And do you know who's coming?
Who?
Miss Fordelia Blakewell Butler herself.
No, you mean...
Miss Fordelia Blakewell Butler, society editor of the Wistful Vista Gazette.
Well, my word.
And believe me, dear lad, getting Fordelia to come to your party is like getting the royal family to high tea at Duffy's Tavern.
Well, gee, that's great, but I still think poker would be a much better game.
Oh, I wonder who that is. It's a little early for the guests to arrive. Come in. Oh, Mrs. Carstairs. Do come in, Mrs. Carstairs.
Thank you, my dear. Good day, Mr. McGee.
Hi, Carsty. I understand you're one of the unfortunate victims selected for our little slaughter tonight. Better bring your checkbook and a fright wig.
Please don't worry about me, Mr. McGee.
Oh.
Here, Mrs. McGee, is the sandwich tray you wanted to borrow.
Oh, thank you so much, Millicent. You know, himself here wanted to play poker tonight instead of bridge. But what with the society editor of the Gazette coming...
What? Fordelia Blakewell Butler? Oh, my dear, I congratulate you. She almost never attends social functions except in the most exclusive circles.
Well, I'll spike her root beer and she can run around in one of her own. Hey, I'll cut the deck with you, high man, for 50 cents.
Oh, very well, Mr. McGee. Oh, and my dear, if there's anything more I can do to help out with your party, I'll be only too happy to... King of Hearts, Mr. McGee, to assist.
Add rat at four diamonds. I owe you 50 cents. Let's do it again.
Thank you, Millicent, but I think everything is under control now.
If Marie, my upstairs maid, can help you with serving... Queen of Spades, Mr. McGee, I'm sure she'll be glad to come over.
Gone at the five of clubs. I owe you a buck. Cut them again, kiddo.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Carstairs, but I don't think my guests will be spending much time upstairs.
Oh, well, with Marie, you can't tell, my dear. Since we've had her, my husband even runs upstairs to check the furnace. Ace of diamonds, Mr. McGee.
Well, I'll be a six of hearts, and I owe you a buck and a half. Once more, double or nothing, Millie.
Now, don't hesitate to call me if I can do anything, my dear. And please tell Miss Butler that I spell my name with an S. Carstairs. Tray of spades, Mr. McGee.
Now I got you. No, I haven't either. Deuce of diamonds. You gotta go, Carsty.
Yes, I have a hair appointment. Good day, my dear.
And thank you for the sandwich tray, Millicent.
Here's your $3, Lucky.
Lucky, Mr. McGee? I think you will find all your opponents have the same sort of luck. Until you learn to shuffle the deck so that the cards can't be read like 24-sheet posters. Good day.
Ooh. Why, that old sharpshooter. She took advantage of my clumsiness. That's what she took advantage of my... Well,
stop pouting, Pigeon. You brought it on yourself.
He whiz.
Well, now, let me see. I think maybe another bowl of peanuts on the side table there and a couple of more ashtrays on the...
Come in.
Hello there, kid!
Oh, hello there, Mr. Oldtimer.
Happened to be in the drugstore, daughter, and Kramer says you'd ordered some ice cream, and I told him I'd skip over here with it. Here you are, both kinds.
We only ordered one kind, Oldtimer.
Well, keep the kind you want, kids. I'll take the other one back.
What two kinds did Mr. Kramer send?
Tutti and Fruity.
Huh?
You want the Fruity, I'll return the 2D, or if you want the 2D, I'll take
never,
back
never,
the
never, 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 never. We'll keep both of them. Hey, tell me something.
Certainly, Johnny. Tell you anything you want to know, except are there more monkeys' uncles than there are monkeys? That's one of the great mysteries.
No. You know, I think what he really wants to know, Mr. Oldtimer, is just what is your real name?
Yeah. Oldtimer is not only pretty corny, it's clumsy.
Well, kids, I kind of hoped it would never come to this.
Hmm?
Well, why don't you just call me Number 28 or Danny Kay or Hey You or something?
Why, you ashamed of your name?
Well, no, not exactly, daughter, but just never seemed to fit me somehow.
Oh.
Confidentially, my name is Rupert.
Rupert? My God.
Rupert.
Yep. Rupert Blasingame.
Oh.
I'll give you $5 apiece to forget it.
You don't have to do that, Rupe. As a matter of fact, I kind of like it.
Very aristocratic, Mr. Blasingame.
Personally, kids, I like what they called me in the CBs better.
What was that, if it's fit for my wife's ears?
Oh, yes. In the CBs, I was known as serial number 748567982-J. A little hard to use in a conversation, but it's... Hey, what time is it?
Oh, it's about 5:30.
Gee willikers, I gotta get going, kids. I gotta be at the tattoo parlor in 10 minutes.
You mean you're getting tattooed?
Nope, getting untattooed, daughter. Some of my artwork has got to be toned down a little for a civilian life. There's a hula dancer on my left shoulder that don't know it yet, but by tomorrow morning, she's going to be a pilgrim father. So long.
Gone, Molly. I don't know why you had to ask the society editor of the Gazette over here tonight. That spoils
everything.
Well,
now, dearie, it won't hurt any of us to use our manners for one evening.
Oh, well, shucks.
Personally, I'm rather going to enjoy a party here that doesn't wind up with people squirting seltzer water at each other. See, McGee did... Oh, dear, and I haven't even had time to dress yet. Come in. Hello, Dr. Gamble. Aren't you a little early? Party isn't for 2 hours yet.
I know, but I thought you might need some extra score pads, Molly.
Hi, Doc.
Hi, Barbara. Happened to have some lying around, thought I'd bring them over.
Oh, thank you, Doctor.
Everything going smoothly, Molly?
Yes, I think everything's under control, Doctor.
Hi, Doc.
Hi.
Did I tell you that Fordelia Blakewell Butler is coming?
Great Scott, you mean the society editor of the Gazette?
Yes. You know her personally, Doctor?
Yes, I do. Though professionally it'd be a more accurate term, as I first met her due to a rather painful injury.
What'd she do, Capsule Happy? Get run down by a typewriter carriage?
Well, it's a matter of public record, so I guess I can tell you.
Hi, Doc.
On one of the rare occasions... Hi. On one of the rare occasions... One of the rare occasions when she went out socially, coming home late at night, she got her heel caught in a streetcar track.
Oh, how terrible. Was she badly hurt?
Oh, not a bit. But I had to treat him for a torn ligament. He tried to get her to pay my bill.
Who tried to get her to...
The chap that was with her. The heel that caught in the car track.
Oh.
But what does Miss Butler look like, Doctor?
Well, I'd say she was about 5'4", brown hair, with incipient alopecia areata due to a childhood attack of typhoid, blue eyes inclined to acute myopia, an almost undetectable congenital malformation of the phalanges, third digit of the dextropedal extremity, an unobtrusive papilloma on the left inferior maxillary, and a bit underweight, due, I think, to hypothyroidism. Really a very attractive woman.
Yeah, she's... Yeah, she sounds like a Powers model who's lost most of her powers.
McGee, I was merely being accurate.
Oh.
Beauty, to me, is a matter of circulation, muscle tone, and a willingness to pay my fee at the end of the month.
Well, I'd still like to know more about Miss Butler, Doctor. Is she very ritzy?
Do I have to take off my cloak and spread it on the floor so she can cross a spilled drink?
If you'd get something in the house besides root beer, Blue Nose... People wouldn't spill their drinks, they'd drink them. See you shortly. Oh.
All right, that's the first portion of Fibber, McGee, and Molly from January 29th, 1946. Molly's Card Party. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes. All right, after the news, we'll have the conclusion to Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Then a good crime story on Under Arrest, sort of a detective police drama from 1948. Joe DeSantis stars in that. I think you will like it very much. Kind of a police procedural. We've aired a couple of them. Very good, very good program from 1948.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Esmeralda. Thank you, Roger. It is 12:34 in the morning on Monday morning, and we are playing all your favorite classic radio shows, as we do every Saturday and Sunday night. And we have a website, WGNRadioTheater.com. Do check it out. And when you go to our website, if you scroll down, you'll see a banner for our app. We have a free app of classic radio that we built just for our listeners. It's absolutely free. When you download it, you will get 10 free classic radio shows. And the way we have devised the banner is you can actually go to our website and click on either the Google site, which will take you right to the Google store, or the Apple Store. So it's right there on the banner. Just go to WGNRadioTheater.com. Make sure you download our free app, which has 10 classic radio shows for you. All right, it's now the conclusion, time for the conclusion to Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
Heavenly days, I hope nobody ever asked Dr. Gamble what I look like.
If they do, just tell him what he looks like. That'd be about as dirty a revenge as you could get.
Well, now, this isn't getting ready for the party, McGee. And I want everything to go perfectly tonight. I want my friends to know I can host a something larger than a chili con carne fracas after a 40-cent movie.
You'll do okay, Snooky. You'll do okay. When this jamboree hits the society page, Eli Culbertson is going to wonder why we're snubbing him.
Well, I do hope everything...
Hello, folks. Well, here's the card table you wanted to borrow, Molly.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wilcox.
Yeah, much obliged, Junior. It's going to be a shame to win your paycheck away from you on your own card table.
Well, that's life, pal.
Yeah.
Hey, look, could you spare a man a glass of water?
I'd do better than that, Junie. Come on out in the kitchen. Give you a little sample of what we're going to give the guests tonight.
Yeah?
I picked up a case of genuine pre-war root beer.
No.
The kind with sugar in it.
What?
Cost me $3.25. Want a wee Doc and Doris?
You keep Doc. Just give me a little Doris. Remember, I've got to drive home.
Well, here's the opener, McGee.
Thanks.
Oh, I'll hate that sound till we can get a new set of tires.
Drink hearty, Junior.
I don't. Ah, say, that's the real stuff, Mac.
You betcha.
I don't believe I ever... Hey, watch it. You're spilling root beer on the floor.
Oh, take it easy, Junior. My gosh, I got glow coat on this linoleum, you know that. Don't you know by this time that glow coat puts a tough film over the linoleum that protects it against dirt and spilled stuff? My gosh, don't you read?
Yes, but gee,
Ah, my goodness, Mr. Wilcox. That's nothing to worry about. I just glow coated that floor this morning for the party. Just poured some glow coat on it and spread it around.
Yes,
and...
but what that got to do with...
It's about time that you learn that a linoleum floor never has a party hangover the morning after, if it's been glow coated the morning before.
Certainly.
Well.
Well, what?
Well, gee, I hope we have this much fun tonight. See you later, folks.
Hey, what happened there, anyhow? I'm so used to that guy spouting about Johnson's self-polishing glow coat. Oh, well, that's one time we didn't have to listen to him popping off about it, anyhow.
Yeah, you certainly showed him.
Sure did.
Well, come on in the living room now, dearie, and help me.
Come in.
Hello there, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, hi, Ella Trivia.
Hello, Molly. Good day, McGee. Here are the extra ashtrays you wanted to borrow for your card party, Molly.
Oh, thank you, Your Honor.
Yeah, much obliged, Latriv. You know who's going to be here tonight? Now toss your hair back so you'll have room to raise your eyebrows.
Gorgilia Blakewell Butler, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah. Oh, that's splendid. It'll be nice to see her again.
Oh, you acquainted personal with this Butler beetle, Latriv?
Well, I have met her, McGee. Mm-hmm. Rather a charming person, really. Oh. She went to college with my sister. Got her bachelor's degree the same year.
Her what, Mr. Mayor?
Her bachelor's degree.
Gee, that's tough, Latrivia. What if she changes her mind and wants to get married?
What's that got to do with it? She can still get married.
With a bachelor's degree?
Take it easy there now, Latrivia. As a college man yourself, you know you can't practice law with a medical degree.
Of course not, but a bachelor's degree
isn't... And if your college makes you a bachelor, that's legal, isn't it?
Naturally, it's legal, but you don't think...
So, if you're legally a bachelor and then you get married, that's illegal, isn't it?
No, it is not. The legality of the matter is not...
Now, just a darn minute there, Latrivia. By George, I'm pretty liberal in my views. But when a city official advocates tearing down our school system...
I advocated no such thing, McGee. And you know it. The mere fact that a person gets a bachelor's degree does not prevent him or her from getting married.
But if they do get married, they have to tear up their bachelor's degree, don't they?
No! No, they do not.
Oh.
My sister is married and has 3 children, and her bachelor's degree hangs on the wall of her library.
Oh, those poor kids.
Well, this is the most shameful thing I ever heard, Your Honor.
Oh, for goodness sake, look. What I'm trying to say is that a bachelor's degree is a purely honorary
degree. What's so honorary about promising to be a bachelor and then turning around and getting married?
That has nothing to do with it. When you get a degree as a basket, as a bachelor, you're not required to maintain anything. It's merely that we, everybody, the scholastics, McGee.
Yes, Your Honor.
Let's go fishing one of these days.
Why, he'd just love to, Mr. Mayor, wouldn't you, dearie?
Why, you betcha, Latrivia. Hey, what gave you the idea all of a sudden?
Well, it just occurred to me that after all the years that you've been baiting me, we ought to do something about it. Now, if I may have my hat.
No, no, Mr. Mayor, not in...
No, no, that's the hall closet. What? Don't open that door.
Gotta straighten out that Latrivia one of these days.
The King's Men sing Tampico.
Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico. Tampico, Tampico, that's the place to go. Tampico, Tampico, where banana boats all go. Tampico, Tampico, down in Mexico. The senoritas they wave when you arrive at the docks. The native costumes they wear are slacks and bobby socks.
Aye, Tampico, Tampico,
where the balmy breezes blow.
Tampico, Tampico,
down in Mexico.
To Mexico,
to Mexico,
to Mexico,
to Mexico, you go to buy a beautiful show. A souvenir for Aunt Flo. Authentic Mexican art. Made in Idaho. Ay, Tampico, Tampico, where the weary tourists go. Tampico, Tampico, down in Mexico.
You think you'll learn to do the samba and the rumba, so you engage a señorita in a hurry. You find she's got a Brooklyn telephone and number, and learn to dance by mail from Arthur Murray.
Ow! Tampico, Tampico, where the great big fool they throw. Tampico, Tampico,
down in Mexico.
As the sunset fades to a purple glow, we bid farewell to Tampico. We'll steal away and leave her stay there on the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, they ought to be coming any minute now, dearie. How does the house look?
Beautiful, Molly. Fine. Everything is so slicked up, I've been putting my cigar ashes in my pocket. You've got this place...
How's my hair?
Oh, wonderful. The way you...
Have I forgotten anything?
No, I don't believe you have.
You think there are enough peanuts?
Oh, there's too many peanuts. Make them too thirsty. I only got one case of root beer, and if we... Well, here they come, Molly. Good luck with it, baby.
Thank you, dearie. Come in.
Oh, hi, Wimp. Come on in.
Hello, Mr. Wimple.
Hello, folks. My, I've been looking forward to this evening. I haven't been to a party for so long. I hope you don't mind if I just let myself go tonight.
You just unwind, Mr. Wimple. Have fun.
You really get raucous, do you, Wimp?
Oh, I'm a caution when I get started, Mr. McGee.
Yeah?
You should hear me recite, "The curfew shall not ring tonight," with a lampshade on my head.
It sounds really riotous, Mr. Wimple. Maybe it's a good thing your wife couldn't come tonight and cramp your style.
It's a wonder she let you out of her sight this long, Wimp.
Oh, I just sneaked out, Mr. McGee.
Oh.
She was sleeping off the effects of a cup of coffee when I left.
Coffee? I thought coffee was supposed to keep you awake.
Not if you put in it what I put in it, Miss McGee. She'll be lucky if she wakes up in time for Valentine's Day.
Hey, now that's pretty dangerous, Wimp, doping a person's coffee.
That's what I kept telling myself, Mr. McGee. But every time I said it, I dumped in another teaspoonful. I'm getting so I don't believe a word I say.
Well, was she all right when you left?
Oh, yes. She was breathing very naturally, which for her means snoring like a water buffalo. Peanuts. May I have some?
Why, sure, Wimp. They're right over there.
Go right in. Sit down, Mr. Wimple. Everybody will be here in a few minutes. Come in.
Oh, boy.
Ah, here you are. Come on in.
Come on, break out the faceboards, Rothstein. I brought a sun lamp with me in case I lose my shirt.
Hey, the house looks swell, Molly. The way that furniture shines.
Please, Mr. Wilcox, no shop talk.
Oh, sorry.
Well, is everybody here? Because I'm already... Uh-oh, peanuts.
Huh?
Lay off, Campbell. I saw them first.
Yeah. Well, now let's wait.
Oh, my goodness, McGee. This must be Cordelia Blakewell Butler.
Don't look so scared, Tootsie. She ain't going to bite you. Come in.
Mrs. McGee, I am Cordelia Butler.
Oh? Well, do come in, Miss Butler. It was so nice of you to come.
It was nice of you to ask me, Mrs. McGee.
Yes. This is my husband, Miss Butler.
How do you do, Mr. McGee?
Hiya, Cordelia. Hey, you're pretty good looking. From what Doc Gamble says, I was expecting a broken down
McGee.
Old
woman.
I'm so glad Dr. Gamble is here. One of my dearest friends, you know.
Oh, he's one of the dearest friends anybody ever had, Ferdy. His bill's at the end of the year.
Please, now, McGee. Miss Butler, I'd like to have you meet the rest of our friends. Mrs. Carstairs, this is Miss Cordelia Blakewell Butler.
Four diamonds.
Double.
Redouble.
Pass the peanuts, Greedy.
Well, that's our game, Mr. Mayor.
I've been doing very well tonight, Molly. I haven't seen so many spades since the WPA finished the airport.
Hey, how about some refreshments, Molly? I could eat the horns off of Gandhi's goat.
Oh, my goodness, McGee. It's only a little after 9. Could I get you anything, Miss Butler?
Well, if it isn't too much trouble, I would like a glass of water, Mrs. McGee.
Why, sure, Cordelia. You're a cinch. We get it piped right into the house here. You just sit there now.
Oh, I'll come with you, Mr. McGee. I'm dummy anyway.
Frankly, Cordelia, isn't this about the dullest evening you ever spent in your life?
Oh, on the contrary, Mr. McGee. I'm enjoying myself very much. Although I... thank you.
Although you what?
Well, one of the reasons I accepted your wife's very kind invitation is that I heard you were quite a poker player. And being very fond of poker myself...
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What was that again?
I said, being very fond of poker...
Well, my gosh, why didn't you say so? We've wasted a whole hour. Come on, sis. You just talked yourself into popularity.
Attention, everybody. Cordelia wants to play poker. Throw them bridge scores out the window and break out the chips. Come on, guys. Come on,
well, now, really, I didn't intend
to. That's all right, dearie. Now, it was my mistake.
Move those tables together, boys, and take off.
Well, it be dealer's choice.
Yes, and you deal the first hand, Cordelia.
Oh, wonderful. Get your chips on the line and feed that hungry kitty.
Not dog.
Here we go with Spit in the Ocean.
Oh, boy, that's for me.
Wheel him around and bet him like you see him.
That's it.
Sky's the limit, and here's where all friendships meet.
It's been said that the best way to judge a product is by its popularity. Well, now, I'm a mere male when it comes to shopping, but that sounds like good common sense to me. That's one reason why I have such confidence in telling you about Johnson's self-polishing glow coat. Did you know that more women use this famous wax floor polish than any other polish in the world? The reason for such popularity is simple, of course. When you protect your linoleum with glow coat, you accomplish two things. You preserve its original attractive colors and beautiful pattern, and you make it last a much longer time. And of course, you save yourself lots of work all year round because Glow Coat is self-polishing. It needs no rubbing or buffing. Takes practically no work from you. Simply apply and let dry. That's the Glow Coat story. Why don't you take a tip from the millions of pleased users and get some Johnson self-polishing Glow Coat tomorrow?
Our party was a success after all.
I'll say, look at this picture in the paper. And listen to this. It says, Mrs. McGee, one of the town's smarter hostesses, entertained with a card party last night. In sharp contrast to the usual sticky bridge affair, the McGee party was one your editor will long remember, to the tune of $16.
What else does she say?
Oh, a lot. Here, read it. There was only one little thing I thought she'd never say last night.
What was that?
Good night.
Oh, good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax Products for Home and Industry, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That is Fibber McGee and Molly. Good broadcast going back to January 29th, 1946. Jim and Marion Jordan. They were married in real life, Lisa, and they were on the air a long, long time, mostly sponsored by Johnson's Wax, as heard on NBC. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more classic radio on the WGN Radio Theater, so stick around. All right. Well, in our next hour, Lisa, we're going to tune into a really good police procedural, a lot like Dragnet or any of those kind of things. It's called Under Arrest, starring Joe DeSantis from 1948. But I do want to remind all of our listeners that we have a surprise box program. Now, what is this? Lisa can tell you all about it.
Well, if you go to our website at WGNRadioTheater.com, it pops up right in your face. No matter what you do, you can't avoid the surprise box. But I will tell you, we've got three surprise boxes. The first one is classic radio on CD. The second one is classic movies and TV on DVD. And the third one is Twilight Zone radio dramas on CD. You can choose any or all of those. You get $150 worth of product for only $39.99. So it's a great deal. They are packed with love and a huge variety of CDs or DVDs, depending on what you order, and you will have hours and hours of enjoyment out of them. We hope you'll check it out on our website, WGNRadioTheater.com.
Yep. I mean, people that have been getting them have been reordering. In fact, we brought one for Roger.
Yesterday.
Yes,
he posted a photo.
So happy about
he posted
it.
A photo of it.
And I only charged him triple.
Right. I mean, that was a deal for sure.
Yeah. So
no, but he was really excited about it. And I put together a really nice box of detectives for him.
That
was
nice of you,
happy.
Lisa. Wow.
I know.
Yeah. How do you get all this done in a week?
I don't
Between
know.
Cooking I just, all these meals for your kids.
Cooking and cleaning. I don't sewing. No. I'm a big sewer. I keep my sewing machine in the closet.
Yeah. Don't forget, folks, we have a an anniversary coming up, a three-year anniversary. We're going to have a pajama party.
We are celebrating it April 14th, which is a Saturday night right here in the studio. We're going to take photos and videos. We are going to wear our pajamas and slippers and robes and whatever else. And we're going to order some food and have some fun. And we hope that you'll join us from home in your pajamas. And we will interact. We'll do some Facebook Live videos and send some pictures and post. And we should have some fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, what she said.
So what do you want to have to eat? Pizza?
I love
pizza. Lisa loves pizza. What kind of pizza do you want?
Vegetable pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's what we'll do.
Yep. And
that's
salad.
April 14th. It's a pajama party here on the WGN Radio Theater. And we're going to really work hard to see if we can get Roger and Esmeralda to wear their pajamas.
And Shantae.
Yeah, and Shantae.
Might Let's take see. A little convincing.
We'll beg them.
I'm
not above begging.
I know you're not.
No.
You don't have to beg me. I'll be here bright and early with my pajamas on. I'm going to have to head out to Victoria's Secret and pick up a little something.
Ooh,
I'm just kidding.
Lisa.
I'm just kidding,
whoa.
Carl.
Va, 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 boom.
Yeah, that won't happen.
All right. In our next hour, Under Arrest. Don't miss that.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Well, Lisa, it's hour three, and
it
I want to
sure
thank all our listeners for staying up late with us. And in this hour, we have Under Arrest from 1948. You're under arrest, Lisa.
Oh, yeah? What for?
Hands up. You're under
what
arrest.
What do I do? You'll come
just
up with something.
You're just under arrest.
You'll come up with something.
I'll figure a charge.
I bet you will.
To charge you with. And we are going to play Crack the Quote, sponsored by Cat's Pride. And what else are we going to do?
That's it.
All kinds of fun
stuff.
We're
going to play Crack the Quote and play some classic radio.
You know what? Next week, I know you're not going to be here, but we're going to celebrate Easter. We have a bunch of Easter shows. We have the Jack Benny program, The Great Gildersleeve, My Friend Irma, Life with Luigi, Escape, and The Lineup. So that's our schedule for next weekend here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, what movie are we going to do a quote from?
The Prestige.
What is that?
You didn't see that one?
No.
Oh.
I'm sure I'm not going to get this right.
Oh, well, you
it's
never gonna know.
It's going to be 33 1/3% chance of getting
well,
it right.
Well, that is exactly correct. So
yeah.
You never know.
You know, there's probably a mathematician out there that's going to tell me that I'm off.
Yeah, we've had that trouble
it's
before.
It's probably 33 1/3, and then it's like a repeating three.
This was directed by Christopher Nolan, this movie.
I didn't see this
movie. You didn't
movie,
see this
no.
one?
All right. Well, the number to call, 312.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman, Christian Bale.
I didn't see it.
Okay.
312-981-7200. What do they win?
They are going to win Twilight Zone CDs.
All right. 312-981-7200. We'll take the second caller. Caller two. Call us right now, and we'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
And we have Ernie on the phone. Hi, Ernie.
Well, hello, Lisa. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Hi, Ernie.
Well, hello, Carl.
I'm good. How are you, buddy?
We got the whole gang here for Crack the Quote. You ready to do it?
I sure am.
Okay, did you see The Prestige?
Of course not.
Okay.
I don't think anybody saw this movie.
Well, either way, we'll see how it goes.
All right.
All right?
Oh, yeah. I'll pretend like I've seen it.
That's
yeah,
right.
I'm
That's
ready.
There we go. All right. Here we go. Quote number one. There's nothing easy about two men sharing one life. Quote number two. Do not set yourself on fire in order to keep others warm. Number three, until a man finds himself, he'll ruin every woman he comes across.
You know, I'm going to go with number two.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounded good, too.
Do not set yourself on fire in order to keep the others warm.
I think that's the one right there. Number
Do you?
Two. We both didn't see the movie, and we both are picking number two.
Well, good luck to you both. Okay, Shantae.
It's nothing easy about two men sharing one life.
That was the right one. It was number one. But so what?
That's
You're still
right.
a winner.
You're so close, Carl.
So close. One off.
You were just one off. You were so close. I'm going to count that as a win. And you have won the Twilight Zone audio CD set. So congratulations and thank you for playing the game with us.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Ernie.
Take care.
Have a great night. All right. Thanks a lot, Ernie. We will. Thank you.
Right.
Okay. It is time for Under Arrest. What do you think of that, Lisa?
I'm not under arrest.
Yes, you are. This was a police procedural. It initially starred Craig McDonald as police captain John Drake, but then soon after, Joe DeSantis took over as police captain Jim Scott. And like Joe Friday, Scott dedicated his life to protecting citizens of his city. DeSantis was one of New York's busiest radio actors, appearing in Pepper Young's Family, Mr. District Attorney, Gangbusters, and many other New York-based shows. Now, Under Arrest was broadcast from New York over Mutual from 1946 till 1949. And we have a broadcast now called The Accidental Murders from June 6, 1948. Here's Joe DeSantis in part one of Under Arrest.
Mutual presents Under Arrest.
Into your cell.
Criminals behind bars. Under Arrest. The story of police captain Jim Scott's fight against crime.
Test.
Right. You better cut your motor. Forget it. I said you'd
better. And he said forget it. Five, high test. Now step.
All right.
How does it look?
Okay, Eddie. Nobody around.
Good.
Out here?
The usual.
Check the gas and oil?
No. All I want is some cigarettes.
Machine's inside.
Which way?
Just follow me.
Al?
Right with you. Machine's over there. That'll be $1.35 for the gas.
Break a 20?
I think I can.
Take a plant by the door, Al.
Yeah. Who won today, you know?
No.
Myers is batting pretty good this year. I heard he...
All right, keep your hands where they are.
Oh.
Now move away from the register. Go on!
This stick up?
Use your eyes. Okay, Al?
Okay.
Nice haul. Must be over 300 here.
367.
Thanks. Hey, what are you looking at, fella?
You told me to use my eyes.
Lay off him, Ernie. He didn't do nothing.
Quiet! Still staring, huh?
Look, you got your money. Now, why don't you get out of here?
I don't like people staring at me.
Come on, Ernie.
Yeah. Yeah, we got what we came for. So long, fella.
So long.
Ernie, for God's sake, come on.
All right, I'm coming. The guy was staring at me.
You didn't have to do that, Ernie. You might have killed him.
Maybe I did. Wait a minute.
Hey, what are you doing?
Getting cigarettes. That's what I come in here for, wasn't it?
You're gone crazy. Come on, let's get out of here.
Now we got time. Plenty of time. Anybody comes for gas, you take care of them, Al.
Now listen, Ernie, you
Shut up! This lousy machine don't work. How do you like that? The guy put me onto a bum machine. I lost 20 cents.
Captain Scott.
That reporter, Susan Webb, she's out here, Captain.
I'll see you, Mike. Sergeant Lowry, get in yet?
No, sir.
I want to see him as soon as he arrives.
Right.
Scott, Harry, what about those tire marks? Got anything on it? Yeah. Yeah, he's in the hospital. Not so good. All right, when you do, let me know.
Hello,
Jim.
Listen, Sue, what's all this stuff in the papers? You call that fair reporting?
What did you call me up for? Bawling out?
You're sure taking the department over the ropes.
Oh, all the papers have.
Thought at least you'd lay off.
Well, I've got a job to do.
So have I. If you think it's easy, think again.
Well, I didn't say it was easy. But after all, Jim, there have been four of those gas station holdups within the past 2 weeks. Now, don't you think...
I'll do my job. You stick to yours.
And mine's reporting.
You mean smearing. You people smear the department every chance you get.
Oh, Jim.
Now, listen, Sue. We're doing our best. You can't ask any more than that, can you?
Well,
I've got my best man on this job, Hank Lowry. Called him in from a fishing trip with his kid. You know Hank. Is he a slacker?
Of course not, but...
Picking up a couple of heist artists isn't like picking a rose off a bush. You gotta find them first. Takes time. And these two guys are smart. Real smart.
They must be.
Smart and vicious. The way they beat that attendant up...
How is he?
Not good. They don't know where they'll live. We'll get them. You can put that in your next story.
Jim, I know you're doing your best. I'm sorry about that column in the paper this morning, but I only write for the boss.
Okay, Sue. I just couldn't help getting sore.
Forget it. Come here and let me straighten your tie. I know you're working hard, but you don't have to look unkempt. There.
Thanks, honey.
Want me, Captain?
Come in, Hank.
Sue.
Welcome.
Look, Hank, I'm sorry about having to bust up that fishing trip you were on with Jack.
Oh, forget it.
I know your kid was looking forward to
it. Jack will understand. Now, don't worry, will you?
Okay, thanks. Now, sit down. They've got to get a new angle on this stick-up.
It's a homicide now.
The gas station attendant?
Yeah. Hospital just phoned in. He died a few minutes ago.
Al.
Get the paper?
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute, Annie.
Leave the radio alone.
But I gotta talk to you.
You can talk with the radio on. That's good music. Don't you ever listen to good music? What's up?
He's dead, Annie.
Let me see that rag.
I told you not to hit him like that.
Quiet. Says here he died in the hospital. Wonder if he talked.
Sure he talked. They got a description of the car and everything. Listen, Annie, we
gotta
get...
I said shut up. Want some more of the same?
No, no.
Let me read this thing in peace, will you? Ah, that punk. Told him not to stare. Well, what are you staring at?
Nothing, Annie, nothing.
Say something. What's the matter? You lost your tongue?
We better blow this town, Annie.
Not yet. We're not finished here yet.
We can't pull another job here.
We'll talk about it later. Right now, I want to get some sleep.
Sleep? For Pete's sake, we got to get...
Don't get scared, Al. Whatever you do, don't get scared. That's the fastest way to get the cops on your tail.
I'm not scared.
Flop on the couch. Get some rest. Just listen to that music. Real restful.
You questioned the attendant yourself, Hank.
His description of the two guys was pretty vague. One big, one short, wiry. That's about all. I was showing him some pictures when he died.
What about the car?
1940 Chevy. Blue. One fender smashed up.
At least we've got that.
If they try another job with that car, I think we've got him.
How many men have you got at the service stations?
11 service stations in the district they've been working. 11 cops working the pumps.
Lucky number.
I'm number 11. I report for work at the Arrow Service Station tonight at 8.
I don't think they'll try again tonight.
Maybe not. But we'll be waiting for them if it takes weeks.
We better nab them before that or I'll be pounding a beat again. The commissioner's hot.
Don't worry about the commissioner. He always liked you. He knows you're trying.
Yeah, but he's under pressure, too. No matter how high you get in this business, there always seems to be somebody higher who wants to tell you how to do your job.
In any business.
Maybe. But this case is getting old, Hank. They've got a point.
So, if you get kicked downstairs, I'll be right behind you.
Thanks, Hank.
Well, I better shove off. It's almost 8. If I'm late, the boss will be sore. See you later, Jim.
I may call you out there tonight.
Right. What's the matter, Al? You scared?
It's not that, Ernie. I'm not scared, but I don't think it's smart, that's all. We can't try another job tonight.
Why not?
It's too soon. We gotta lay low for a while.
Just what the cops expect us to do. So we won't.
Are you crazy?
No. Smart. You see, Al, we got the coppers running now. We want to keep them running. Confuse them.
Listen, Ernie, you can't do that.
You want out, Al?
No, Ernie, no.
Anytime you do, say so. I'll give you out. Well?
I don't want out, Ernie. Don't get sore.
Okay.
But what about the car? They got the car spotted.
Well, we got another one.
That costs dough. And we can't sell the Chevy because we...
We left one off the street. That don't cost anything.
You know how to start a car without the key?
Sure. It's easy.
You got a gas station picked out?
Uh-huh. Arrow Service Station. Cased it last week, a pushover. Only one man on at night. Arrow Service Station. Corner of Grant and Broom. Remember that. Arrow Service Station.
Jim, Hank. Anything stirring?
Pretty slow. 3 customers so far. 2 regulars, 1 high test. Fixed 1 flat.
No sign of the Chevy?
Nope. Oh, here's another customer now, Jim. I'll call you back.
This it?
That's not a Chevy. Not 1940. It's a 48 Buick, bright red. Too classy for a couple of high smugs.
Don't take any chances.
Call you back in a few minutes.
Right.
Help you?
Yeah. Think we got a low tire in the back. Will you check it?
Sure. This one?
Yeah, that's it.
Now, you're all right. You got 30 in here now.
Just keep them hands where they are. Wouldn't want to part your hair with a bullet. Keep on the tire. That's it. Al, take care of the register.
Right.
I expected you guys in a 1940 Chevy.
That was dumb.
I suppose it was.
Don't move those hands. You're a cop, aren't you?
With a yen from mechanics.
Watch those hands.
You want the valve cap back on, don't you?
Okay, but don't do anything dumb. Get away from that valve!
If I try riding a flat, punk, you know it's kind of bumpy.
Ernie! Ernie, what are you trying?
Get in the car. I gotta screw this thing in.
What'd you do it for, Ernie? Did you have to shoot him?
The pump tried to unscrew the valve core. Now, come on. We gotta get out of here.
Hurry up with those pictures, Casey. Snap it up.
Jim? Jim?
Over here, Sue.
Oh, Jim, is it Hank?
Yes.
Oh, does Jack know?
Not yet. Johnson, get a call out on a red Buick, 1948. That's all I've got, but we'll try. Should be 2 guys in it.
How do you know about the car, Jim?
I spoke to Hank on the phone just before it happened. He never expected it tonight, Sue. I guess I didn't expect it either.
What about Jack? Who's going to tell him?
That's up to me.
If you need any help...
Thanks, Sue. I hope he doesn't go bitter.
You sound pretty bitter yourself, Jim.
Hank was my best friend. This whole thing brings back memories.
Your father went like this, didn't he?
Yeah, when I was in college. That's why I didn't stick it out. Left and joined the force. Full of hate. Like Jack will be. That's what we'll have to watch out for, Sue. The hate and the bitterness.
Very dramatic, Lisa.
That would be you, Carl.
Very, you. Really. Jeez.
You're dramatic.
Very dramatic. Under arrest. We're listening to The Accidental Murders. This stars Joe DeSantis. Great cast. You know, a lot of New York actors on this. This came out of Mutual. You had Mark Lawrence. You had Margaret Draper. Jim Bowles, along with Jack Grimes. So this was a summer replacement for The Shadow. You know, The Shadow was the big show on Mutual, and it had to take a summer replacement every once in a while, generally in the summer. Yeah, what do you think of that?
Yeah, that's good,
I
Carl.
Really goofed up that joke earlier.
Yeah, you did.
Gosh, it was
going so
good.
You were so close. You had
so
the first.
Good.
You had the story going really well.
The story
well.
Was good.
Yeah.
I get like a B plus. And then I tanked it.
I think you got excited.
I was excited because it's a good joke.
You got really overexcited.
Yeah, it was like a B plus on telling the joke, and then I got a D minus.
You're very generous,
man,
too.
I was doing so good.
Yeah, well, you can try next week.
Now I'm probably not going to get that gig over at Zany's.
Oh, because you were going to, and now you kind of messed it up.
I don't know why. I think there's something wrong with my phone because he just doesn't call me.
Yeah.
The guy from Zany's doesn't call
What's his
call
name?
Me. The owner.
Yeah.
He's going to call me. And
what's his name?
I know. I don't know. I've never talked to him. But I
That's
just.
Right.
You know, it's called The Message. You ever hear this? Where you kind of, you just put it into your, like, psyche that something's going to happen and you just think about it a lot.
Yeah.
And you're positive about it. I feel like I'm going to get a gig at Zany's. And all I'm going to have is my rim shot. That's it.
Right.
It's me and and my rim shot.
I can tell you this.
What?
If you get that gig, I will be there.
You'll watch it?
Yes,
or
I will.
Do you want to be part of it? Do you
No. I will enjoy watching it more than anything.
You don't
want to
be up on the stage with
no,
me?
No, I'll just go watch
doing
you.
Doing jokes with
Not
me?
Not with you, no. I'll watch.
Thanks a lot.
You would drag
you know,
me down.
Thanks a lot, Lisa. Well, at least you'd be at my show.
Yes,
that's
I
nice.
Would.
I appreciate. I would come to your show.
I know you would.
If you were in a show,
I would get great pleasure in watching you up there.
You know, when I was a kid, and we're talking a long time ago.
I know.
I was in a play. I liked plays mm-hmm. as a kid in high school.
Right, so something changed.
I've never done a play. I don't think I've ever done a play outside of high school. But I think right. I would like to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would like to be in like a Steppenwolf play or a
I
good
bet.
I'm not good enough to do that, but I would have right. to work my way up. I'd start with dinner theater, you know, and then I'd work my way up.
No, dinner theater is...
Well, or...
You started community theater.
I would start in community.
Right.
Well, I was in... And years and years ago, I did a play. I did a lot of plays in high school, but one of them was Arsenic and Old Lace. We talked about this
yep,
one time.
You've mentioned
did you
that.
Ever see the movie? You haven't seen the movie
nope,
yet?
No, I haven't.
Wow, that's a great movie. Cary Grant.
Yeah, I mean, I'm familiar with it, but I haven't seen it.
I played the Peter Lorre role. Peter Lorre was in the movie. He was Dr. Einstein. If they ever do that play here in Chicago,
yeah,
I'm auditioning for
yeah,
it.
I think you should.
If Goodman ever does it or any...
Well, you know what? That would be
Mercury
interesting.
Theater.
Mercury
Theater.
That would be interesting because they generally do these things on Saturday nights, so that way you would be there and not here would be the issue.
I can clone myself.
That's okay. I'm all right. Dave and I did a good job, I think.
I'll clone myself.
Dave and
I'll
I had a, both. Had a good weekend a couple weekends ago.
You guys did a great job.
Yeah, I know.
I'll tell you what. It was really good.
I know.
I told you not to do too good of a job.
I know you did.
All right, let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Esmeralda. Thank you, Roger. And we are back. And it's time for the conclusion now to this broadcast called The Accidental Murders on Under Arrest.
Watch those corners, Al. What are you trying to do, kill us?
I'm a little nervous, Annie. I didn't...
You're making a nervous wreck out of me. Pull up. Any place along here.
Pull up? But I told
you
we got...
That's what I said. You see, Al, a bright red car is the wrong one to use for a getaway. If you'd stop to think for a minute, you might see that. We'll ditch it. Now pull up.
Hello, Jack.
Sit down, fella.
Did you get those two guys yet?
No, we...
Why not? What are you waiting for?
We'll get them, Jack.
And what are you going to do to them when you get them?
What we usually do. Lock them up. Have the district attorney present the grand jury.
I know all that. But what are you going to do to them when you get them down here? Aren't you going to beat them up?
No. Why should we?
Because they killed my dad, that's why. Because they killed your best friend.
Sure. But why beat him up? What good would it do?
Plenty.
Is that what you want to do, Jack?
That's what they deserve, isn't it?
But the police don't work that way, Jack.
And when I get on the force and I get hold of two guys
like
that...
What do you mean, Jack, when you get on the force? How do you know you'll get on?
When I'm old enough, I will. And I'll get even for Dad, too. You can bet on that.
Jack, do you think it's right to feel that way? Bitter and...
I think I know how Jack feels, Sue. Felt the same way myself once, Jack. Jack, did I ever tell you how my dad was shot down on the street one night? Just like Hank. He was on the force, too.
I didn't know that, Captain.
I was a little older than you, but it didn't make any difference. You know what I said to myself when I heard about my dad, Jack? I said, Jim, this is it. This is where you leave school for good. This is where you finally join the force so you can even up the score for Dad. Even it up good.
Is that the way you feel, Jack?
I don't know, Miss Webb.
Sure, that's the way he feels. The only way he could feel and still call himself a man.
Thanks, Captain Scott.
But do you think it's right, Jack? Do you think I was right to join the force because I wanted to even up for my dad?
Do you?
I don't know.
Oh, come on now. We're alike, you and I. We both got the same rotten break in life. We're in the same boat together. We can talk man to man. Right?
Sure, Captain.
Okay. So do you think it's right? To want to shoot down every cheap crook and drift to every con man and dip in the business just because your dad ran into a murderous slug one night?
Sure, it's right. Sure, it's right because you got to even up the score for Dad, like you said.
I said I felt that way. At first. And later I found out I was all wrong. You see, Jack, that's not a cop's job to even up. The cop's job is to protect the public. To protect life and property and see that everybody gets an even break. Even some criminals...
I hate criminals. I hate all criminals. They killed my dad, didn't they?
Sure. One of them did. One. But does that give you the right just because you've got a uniform on to run around and shoot every Tom, Dick, and Harry you see with his hand in another guy's pocket? Does it?
I don't know, Captain.
Sure, you gotta hate some criminals. That's good. But a lot of criminals you've gotta treat differently. With some, crime is a disease. Maybe they were brought up in an unclean neighborhood, or maybe they caught it from one of the other kids on the block. And then there's the guy who steals food from the grocery store because his wife and kid haven't eaten for a week. And he wants to protect them. Sure, he's going about it the wrong way. But would you want to shoot him down on the spot and then tell his wife and kid you did it because you thought he was a dangerous criminal? Or would you?
I guess not.
A policeman's job is a responsible one. You've got to go at it with the right attitude. Not full of hate. Hate's a dangerous thing when we use it too much in the wrong places. Okay, I think you got the picture now. You still want to be a cop?
Sure, Captain Scott. And I'm going to try to think about it your way.
Good. We'll talk about it more later on. Right now, I've got work to do, Jack.
So long, Captain. And thanks.
Wait a minute, Jack. I'll walk home with you.
Okay, I'll wait outside.
Well?
Mind if I kiss you?
Certainly not. But go easy on the lipstick. Boys kid me about it.
So he was a cop. So what do you want me to do, sit down and cry?
But a cop killing Ernie. You know what that means. They'll get the whole force on us now.
Scared?
No, smart. Smart like you're supposed to be. What are you going to do, just sit here and wait till they come and take you?
Why not?
I tell you, Ernie, sometimes I think you ain't got...
All right, all right. I'm not that dumb. Start packing, Al.
Oh, now you're talking, Ernie. Now you're talking smart.
Sure. I always told you I was smart. Al, when you got a blow, you got a blow. Let's blow.
So you found the car?
Yeah, parked on Gedney Street. Motor's still running. Doesn't help us much. Stolen. We could only trace it back to the owner. He's all right, of course.
What about Prince?
Are you kidding? Those boys are smart, Sue. Wiped it clean before they left it. Dashboard, wheel, door handles, every place they touched it.
Why was the motor still running?
Well, they lifted it without a key.
Hmm. Well, I guess that's a blind alley.
Yeah.
Or is it?
What do you mean?
How does a guy steal a car without the ignition key?
Hey, that may be it, honey. They have to fool around with the wiring under the hood, with the distributor head or something. The engine was still running when they ditched the heap.
Which means there still may be some prints under the hood.
Right. Hello, Harry. Scott, get me Richardson, quick.
Hey, Ernie, I can't close this bag.
You got too much in it, sap. What do you need this for? Think it might get cold?
Hey, listen, that overcoat cost me $200.
So we're going to Florida. You won't need it.
Look, Ernie, I paid
you... Don't argue. All the time arguing. Now, hurry up. Let's get out of here sometime this week, huh?
That music's driving me nuts.
Ah, you got no culture. That's what's wrong with you. No culture.
Anything come up on those prints, Jim?
Plenty. All over the distributor head, on the block, on the dash cable. We're checking through the files now.
Only one set?
That's all. Scott. Yeah? Go ahead. Ernie Blue. Okay, Mac, get a general out for him. Right. Ernie Blue.
Know him?
From way back. Now all we gotta do is to find him. Easy on the soda, Skippy. That's it. Hey, you seen Ernie Blue around lately? I hear he's off the wagon again. Bank for 14, Pee-wee. Ernie Blue used to play a great game. He been in today? Blonde guy looks good, Nat. I hear Ernie Blue owns a piece of him. Hey, where is Ernie these days? Hello, Mike. Captain Scott. I've located Ernie Blue. Yeah. I'm going up to take him right now.
Well, just about set, Ernie.
Okay. Might as well take off.
I still say we ought to take that overcoat. It cost me $200.
Forget about that lousy coat. All you do is... Wait.
Ernie.
Open it. Go ahead. I'm ready.
Ernie Blue here?
Well, I think...
One side, Al.
Hello, Ernie.
Come in, Scotty boy.
Thanks.
Just keep your hands away from your hip. That's all.
You sure it's loaded, Ernie?
Uh-huh. Aren't you?
Listen, Ernie, don't go and do
nothing. Quiet, will you? What do you want, copper?
You, Ernie. For the murder of Joe Carson, gas station attendant, and Hank Lowry, sergeant of police. Plain enough?
You don't want much, do you?
I'm greedy.
You alone, Scotty?
Maybe.
Move over to the right, by the wall. Go on!
Sure. Ernie!
Take a look out the window, Al. Well, I guess you're not alone, copper.
I'm not that dumb to come up here without phoning headquarters first.
Ernie, the whole block, it's full of cops' cars.
Quiet! I can hear.
I guess you won't shoot me now, Ernie. You're a dead weight and you know it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm saving you, Scotty. You might come in handy making a getaway.
You figure to use me as a shield on the way out?
Uh-huh. Get his gun, Al. Go on.
Sure, Ernie. Sure.
Watch it, Al. Don't come too close. I'm liable to turn you into a shield.
Listen, Ernie.
Get his rod, I said. Now move.
Okay. Let go. Let go of my arm.
Shut up, punk. Okay, Ernie, you shoot me, you gotta shoot through Al here.
You think that'll stop me, copper?
Sorry, Ernie, but I guess it had to be this way.
My side. My side, copper. He got my side.
He'll be all right. Take it easy.
It hurts, I tell you.
Don't cry, I said. We'll get you fixed up.
Hello?
Wrap it up, honey. It's all over.
You all right, Jim?
Yeah, fine. Baloo's dead. His pal's got a flesh wound.
Jim, are you sure you're all right?
Better start pounding that typewriter, honey. Whether you realize it or not, this is an exclusive from me to you. Because I think you're swell.
Oh.
Remember? It was the prince on the distributor head that did it, Sue. Those crooks made a mistake. They always make one. At least one. Always.
Under arrest.
Into your cell.
All prisoners present and accounted for. Just heard Under Arrest, presented by Mutual, a new series featuring Joe DeSantis as Police Captain Jim Scott. Under Arrest is produced and directed by Wynn Wright, written by William K. Wells, Jr. Original music composed and played by Milton Kay. Susan Webb was played by Margaret Draper. Hank Lowry by Jim Bowles. His son Jack, Jack Grimes. Baloo by Mort Lawrence. Zito by Rock Rogers. All names of persons used in Under Arrest are fictitious. Any resemblance to names of actual persons, living or dead, is coincidental. Russ Dunbar speaking. This is the world's largest network, the Mutual Broadcasting System.
All right, there you have it. Under Arrest. Good broadcast from June 6, 1948. The Accidental Murders, starring Joe DeSantis. Hope you enjoyed that. It's heard on the Mutual Network, broadcast out of New York City.